I bet that's what it is. Yeah, this has been too close to it.
4 inches.
No.
I guess it's going to work. Well, as I say, one of these days I'll bring some of those out and let you look at them. I think you might enjoy them. But I got a picture. There's one of those old pictures that I found that shows a fellow in a buggy racing a completely open car. And it's open and the seat's set forward like this and the whole car is open. And he's racing his car with a buggy.
The seats were
straight across. It was a complete open car all the way. And it was a real old,
Yeah, that must have been before my time, because when I come here, they had the old handbrake ones, and then they had four of the 40s and an old 33 at that time,
That's when you retired.
Was it?
Yeah. And these are all right. Well, I got some specific things I want to ask you about, and then maybe we can get into some of these other things. You've got more pictures here than I want to make sure that I get to look at them all. There you go. That was that deal that they did on the transit. Buses and so forth and so on. I'll put yours here so I don't get them mixed up with mine. Now, I made myself some notes on some things I wanted to ask about because there were things that I couldn't find answers to. And now the first thing that I was really interested in is just exactly where the line to Glendale went. I've seen somebody about 5 or 6 years ago put out a little brief history of the street, Phoenix Street Railway, which is something called the Western Railroad Magazine, which is a fan club. And it's just a little tiny pamphlet about like so. But they had a lot of stuff in there that wasn't true. I mean, that I knew for myself. It was prepared by people who didn't, they just came here later and they weren't here at all. And they were just trying to put together by guessing by golly.
Yeah.
And I was kind of curious as to just exactly where the Glendale line went. I know it went up to the Indian School.
Well, not quite to the Indian School, to Fairmont, you see. Fairmont's the first block south, and we had a switch at Fairmont, and we turned off on that, off on the Indian School line, we opened the switch, and all was closed behind us when we went on the other line, of course. And we went over to 12th Street. And we went out 12th Street to Desert Curve, right out where the canal was. And I don't remember what the name of the street was that we turned there.
Was that the orange one?
No. Then we turned down and we went three blocks. Crossed Central Avenue. I guess maybe three blocks below Orangewood. No, we didn't cross Central Avenue. We went down about three blocks and there we had a substation. Did you ever hear about that?
Yeah.
The old substation, because sometimes we'd get out there and we didn't have power enough to get back to town, and the fellow that's running it would have to go and turn on the juice to give us power enough to get back in with one car, you see. Well, we went by that substation, and then we came on up to Orangewood on 3rd Street, as near as I can remember. On 3rd Street, we came on up to Orangewood, and then we crossed on Orangewood and went straight across to Glendale.
Well, now, the map that I saw, that I'll show to you in a minute, and it's made by these people who got it out of the newspaper sometime, but it was a newspaper article that was written by my friend Jay Brashear, who you may see his name on some of these things in the newspaper periodically. He's a writer for the Gazette.
Yeah.
He's my age. I went to kindergarten with him, and he grew up out there on West Adams Street. Their house was right on... Oh, you know where, before the Capitol West Adams line stopped, why, there was a market over here.
On Jefferson?
No, on right on Adams.
Oh, right on Adams.
You know how the line went up to the Capitol,
Isn't that where the annex is or someplace in there?
Yeah. Well, then, just before the end of the one block, the end of the line, there was a Chinese grocery store.
Yeah, I think it was too.
Well, this writer for the Gazette lived in that block right there, right in front of the car barn. But anyway... This article had the that line going off on Fairmont and then to 12th, and it had it going up 12th to, not all the way to the canal, it had it going up 12th to Maryland, and then over on Maryland to 7th,
and then up 7th Street to Orangewood, and that didn't seem right to me.
No, we went over, we turned, now I want to say it went to the canal, because I don't remember how far we did go. No, we call it a desert curve.
But it was where people used to go have picnics.
Yeah, they used to ride out to the desert curve, and no one get off there. And we'd go to Desert Curve, I don't know just what street that was on, and then we turned west and went over to 3rd Street, and as we turned, why, it was right there to the substation, maybe a block north. It could have been a block north of where we turned on 3rd Street, and as near as I can recollect. I'll tell you, if old Sam Hodges is here, and he's a couple of years older than I am, but he just... he's sure got a wonderful memory. He can just tell you about all of these fellows.
Well, he'll be at that picnic.
He remembers those guys.
He does. Yeah. And then this is for good for one fair, wasn't it?
Oh, that was their old tokens we had. You see when they had the tokens?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was two or three kind of Pittsburgh had the same fees and everything too at the same time.
This, when they said, I was looking on there, they had a picture, a reprint of a ticket here on the Glendale line on this article. And they start out and they go from Phoenix and it says Indian School and it says 7th Street. And then it says Desert Curve. And then it says Orangewood Curve. And then it says Old Black Canyon. And then New Black Canyon, Alhambra. And it says Section something, 3. And then Sugar Road. And then Glendale.
Well, no, I couldn't swear for sure that it went out Orangewood all the way.
I think it says Glendale and Orangewood.
It was pretty. It was pretty, pretty straight though, because I never did get to make the trips only twice. I went all the way into Glendale with the man that I was breaking in. Other times we went up to Central and went 2 miles or a mile or two west, and then they used to cut us off at 10 o'clock at night. That was to take the Mexicans and all of them home, you see.
They were working up there.
Yeah, they worked out in the country, and they had no transportation. And we all, whether it's a mile west of Central or 2 miles west of Central, and then we'd change our trolleys up and get back in. Well, on Saturday night, they'd have another car come out at midnight to take the rest of them that we missed down in town and come out. Well, we'd have to get back in there to the substation or someplace. They're down there on out of the line to pass them. So I don't think we had any sidetracks that I remember on 12th Street at all.
Where was the switch at the substation?
If there was, it was just right around the station, right in there by it. But I don't remember whether there was a track in there or not, or a switch in there. I can't tell you for that.
Well, I read there was some newspaper articles about when it was first set up. That I found back in the newspaper archives. It was printed, I guess, 1911 or 10, anyway, when they first put the line in.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about the new power station at just east of Orangewood, is how they termed it in the article.
Just east of.
Well,
yeah,
of course,
sure,
what they were meaning.
That'd be close to it.
You know, who was meaning what when they said Orangewood,
right.
You never know. And then they said in the cars passed at a switch, or in a bypass, and I had the impression that that's where it was.
Well, I think there was, as near as I can recollect. Of course, I don't remember of ever passing a car in there or anything, because I know one time I went a little bit farther west than what I was supposed to go. Of course, the track and the power was on all the way into Glendale, and I said to one of the Mexicans, there was only a couple, three left on, I said, I think I'm about the end of the line. He said, yeah, you're about a mile farther than what the other fellow takes us. So I had to change up the hurry and beat it back, you know. But we didn't have too much power, because sometimes coming up along there, you could darn near walk and as fast as the car was coming up the desert curve. So we didn't have too much power.
And so you went then on Fairmont to 12th and up 12th to the canal.
Well, we called it Desert Curve. Yeah.
Now, did you see the canal bank?
No, I never remember seeing it at all. Never remember seeing that.
And then it went all the way over to almost to Central.
Well, to 3rd Street. I remember that very well. And then north on 3rd Street, it seemed like to Orangewood, square corners, and then we turned and went as near as I could tell, straight west on Orangewood all the way into Glendale. I was over to Christown one day and talking to some folks, and I said something about I run a streetcar pouring foot over there. All the cars are, oh hell, he says, I've lived out there 15 years. There was never no line there, something like that. Then he said, I'm going to ask the old lady here. He was renting it from an old lady. And he went over and talked to her, and she said, yes, there used to be a streetcar line out through there.
Well, they,
you can see the tracks from then there yet, where
yeah,
they're into
I know,
that.
I know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people don't really, I've told people that, and they said, oh, no, that could never be. Uh-huh. And I said, well, I know, I don't remember it, but my father and my grandfather used to ride it, you know. I mean, I darn well knew that it was there.
These is what they used to give us. My wife wanted to ride with me or anything like that. All I had to do was take the tickets and shit. They gave me a bunch, a book of them.
Well, it's a token for it.
Well, the token, they charge token 7 cents here, or four tokens for...
Did you ride for 7 cents?
Yeah.
What do they charge now?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
6 cents for
the high school. Yeah.
1911, 12, and 13.
That's when they put them out, you see, but they must have been some old ones. Because I didn't start till 24, and they still gave me my wife a book of them so we could ride the cars that's where it's off duty or something, if you want.
Glendale Orange Woods Salt River Valley Nurseries Interurban Extension Phoenix Railway Company. Now, that's a real mouthful.
Turn your office.
No,
any good.
No, I wouldn't want to do that.
Well, it doesn't matter to me. I don't know.
You know that.
I've thought of throwing it away sometimes.
No, you should not throw it away.
I'm getting pretty old.
This is an antique, and you certainly should not throw this away.
Well,
because someday... you know, they've got a historical commission now, the city's got going, and someday they're going to be collecting stuff like this and like that. And as a matter of fact, I'm trying to interest the historical commission in getting a hold of four of these streetcars. You know, there's still four of these cars left.
Oh, is there?
They're in an auto court out by the aluminum plant. Yeah. And a fella told me that... when I thought there was one out here on by the ballpark behind an amusement park for a long time. It's 504, is the one it was. And it had been in pretty good condition. And then they were using it in connection with their amusement park somehow, and they poured a concrete floor in it, which kind of ruined it. But I thought that was the only one, but then this fellow told me that, somebody told him that there were three of them in a trailer park out by the aluminum plant somewhere. So I got up, spent a couple Saturdays driving around on all the streets out there, and sure enough, I didn't find three, I found four.
Mm-hmm.
And they are in surprisingly good condition.
Wow.
They've been lived in, and they've been turned into like trailers, but they did not pour concrete floors, they're sitting up on blocks. And so all of the undercarriage, not the wheels of course, but all of the supports and all that are still there.
Mm-hmm.
And the... And one of them, they didn't do anything to the windows other than put curtains on them. And where the doors were, they put a storage place, or they put a front, either they took those off. But and where the front end of the car was, they just put some beaver board and wrapped it around the front and then plastered over that. And everything is intact behind that thing. And so I'm trying to interest the historical society to have some inquiring those. And seeing if maybe we couldn't get the Railroad Historical Society to try to restore one. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a trolley car museum over in California.
Oh, yeah.
A place called Paris, California. It's by, you know where Riverside is?
Yeah.
This is about 20 miles south of Riverside.
Mm-hmm.
And they started, I guess, about 10, 15 years ago, and they've accumulated trolley cars from all over the world.
Oh.
And they've got 2 miles of track that runs, and they have they got all those Pacific Electric cars and Los Angeles cars and San Francisco cars, and they even have one from New Orleans. They've got some interurban cars from British Columbia. I mean, they must have 50 or 75 cars that will operate.
Mm-hmm.
And they also got a lot of other stuff, like they got seats, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I was kind of thinking maybe if we could acquire these out here, we could maybe trade them some car bodies for some seats and other kind of equipment like that. This time yesterday, I was in New Orleans. And I was riding, I was down there on business, and they have streetcar line that operates there. So.
Mm-hmm.
And the streetcars that run in New Orleans are older than these right here. They have one line, and they've kept it as kind of a tourist attraction. And the cars are all in this beautiful condition. There's still two-man operation. And they're just now starting to convert one or two of them to one-man operation. But they run down a, they run down from right downtown all the way out to Carrollton Street, and it's, I think it's 6 miles. It's a long run. And it runs right down a parkway, and there's double tracks with poles down the center, and big magnolia trees on both sides, and green grass, and it's a beautiful park with the trolley cars running down. And it's really some, I've never asked how many they have, but I'd say there's at least 30 or 40 that are still operating. And it's really, I mean, but those cars, as I say, are older, and they're not nearly as fancy.
Well, you know where they moved these first cars after we got rid of them? They took them up to 19th and East Forest and had them in a trailer park there. They were, they had, I think there was 7 of them on one time up there.
Yeah.
But I suppose they,
those were the old
cars. Handbrake, yeah. The old had the handbrake.
Those were there until 1961, and the city made them clear them out. They said they couldn't use them for housing anymore because they wouldn't come up to the code standards. And they were going to use them for farm labor places, and they caught fire and they all burned up. Before they could, you know, before they did anything like that. But you shouldn't throw something like this away.
Yeah, any circumstances at all.
That's whether you know it or not, you could sell that book to railroad fanatics for a whole bunch of money. You know, there's an awful lot of people that are interested in this book. Yeah, they sure are.
Better hurry up. We'll be gone before
they leave. Well, you know, it's really, people didn't know how well off they were, really. You know, when you could, the streetcars came every 10 minutes.
You
know, and they were dependable.
Yeah, that's right.
And heck, now you can't get a bus for an hour, and it's just really all in all kind of bad,
And look what they work for an hour. What did you start in?
33 cents an hour. Start with.
Mm-hmm. And you started in 1924?
Yeah,
1924. And what were they paying when you quit?
I got $1.82.
How they ever expected?
The last 8 years I drove buses.
How did you get on that? I don't know.
Yeah, they start getting
when you first went to work, where did they, what line did they put down?
Well, I broke in on all the lines separate. Yeah. I was on Washington Street. Old man Winters was running back and forth on Washington Street. And they put me on there, I think, for 1 or 2 days. And then old man was so cranky and fussy why the inspector seemed I wasn't doing so well, so I think he'd give me to Mr. Quillen or someone like that. No, I think I went over to old man Binder. He was on I said call him old man because there was two other binders later on, two of the boys, on the bill line. I worked the bill line one day with him, and the old man, he just turned me loose, old man Binder. He says, you know how to run the light, go ahead and run. So, and then he'd tell me if I was going to did something wrong or something like that. But, oh man, he had me scared, you know. I was a farmer when I come here, and he had me scared. I brought my first wife down here for help, you see, and had to come down here, and I had to get a job of some kind, but then, because it was pretty darn hard to get a job at that time. Then I went over each line after I broke in. I went over each line, like on the union school, like a day later, and maybe work in shift on chemical work or something like that. First kind of work was all of us are running down on the green, you know, most of the time. You know,
just one car?
No, yeah, most of the time. It 30 minutes, 15 minutes out, 15 minutes back. You know. We just came in the 2nd Avenue in Washington and changed up the car and got back out the same
line. Now, that line, and it's kind of hard to get the dates of this because you can't really find them. Nobody was paying much attention. But that line, the Kenilworth line, was taken off just before the Second World War, in the late 1930s, the first time, and then they put it back on. So they were running buses on Kenilworth 1 in 1937 or 38 or thereabouts. Do you remember anything about that?
Well, anyway, the idea was that it used to be, in later years, when they took it off finally in 47, it only went to Encanto, this avenue in Encanto,
yeah.
Which is where those pictures.
Yeah, we went out to Encanto and then over to 3rd Street. We went out 5th in Encanto and then over to 3rd Street in Encanto and then back to San Juan.
Well, this was taken at Encanto and 5th Avenue.
Yeah.
Now, but it used to, before the war, and as originally laid out, that line went further north than that.
No, I don't think it ever did.
Yeah?
I don't think it did.
Well, supposedly went through some open fields.
Well, that was open field for McDowell. Yeah. That was a hay field out there. We went out through a hay field, and almost to Encanto. And I think it was building on the south side of Encanto at that time, just a few houses in there. Then we jogged over to 3rd Street from the hay field, as we call it, because they used to get held up out through there once in a while, and they'd always catch the boys out through there in that open field.
You mean they hold up the trolley car?
Yeah, they held up the trolley car out there several times. I know they had me scared when I got out there, so I used to count out my change at 8 o'clock and take and put it down behind the controller or something like that. So I figured if I did get held up, why it would be the company's money to get, not mine. You know? And we were supposed to have I figured we were supposed to have $5 in change all the time, so I'd have it to go the next morning. Because if I didn't, I wouldn't have had it because I didn't have any money that night. And so that's the way I always was tried to play safe for myself. Because after that, we didn't take in very much and get a transfer out from town a lot of the time. You know?
Now, that went up then to Encanto, and then it turned to Encanto and went over to 3rd?
Yeah, 3rd. And we used to have, after 10 o'clock at night, they had a light over at 3rd and Encanto on a big pole there. And if that light wasn't on, we didn't have no passengers to go out, we didn't have to go out there. Mm-hmm. We could stop at McDowell Road and change up the trolleys and get back into town, you see. But we'd kill more time at McDowell Road, and so we wouldn't be on a scheduled time. And say, if it took us 5 minutes to go there, well, we'd lay over 5 minutes at McDowell Road.
So what you do is you'd look up to McDowell and see that it was lighted in Canada.
That's right. We'd cross McDowell Road and we'd stop just near to that meadow. Was over there, and there was no light over there. Now, one time I got my collars all changed, and just ready to go to town, and the light came on. Well, I changed up the collars quick, and I went over there as fast as I could, and I got over in time. There was some man on the room, and just one person. Well, I picked him up, and then I ran like the dickens to get back in town on schedule time. Because sometimes I would get in there, say, 11 o'clock, why, if I'd get in there 2 minutes after, maybe there'd be an Indian school car standing down there at 11 o'clock because he wanted to come out from the road to go east, you see. And I'd have to hold him up a little bit if there were any more lights, you see. Or we'd try to get in there 2 minutes of avenue or something like that, 2 minutes of avenue. Any time another car might be in there. That's the only thing that any of the things would be in a great hurry about. Sometimes they would, if it really was too much late on Kenilworth, so I'd... They'd start out and we'd have to wait for them at Monroe, second avenue road. And then we'd run down there and change trolleys, and by that time we'd be a little bit late for them.
So if I get that right, and this is, I'd never heard of the term before, the people, one of the court commissioners downtown, lived on that line for a long time, used to ride all the time. He said when he was a little boy, they used to go out and walk along the line. And it was, you know, went through kind of on the side of the right away to the field. So you remember there was kind of a fence or something.
That's right.
There was a fence off.
Yeah.
Were there any trees along it?
No, there wasn't nothing. The only thing we used to accuse them of, what we used to have to watch, is to see that the owners out there didn't turn, knock the fence down, turn the cattle into right away, you see. Because if we'd hit a cow or something, a horse or something, then they'd always make the city pay for it, or Sherman at that time. Sherman had it, you know, when they first started doing it. So we had to watch for that, and of course, I never did, but some of the boys had some awful close calls of getting a cow. I think one fellow claimed that they killed his cow out there. But they found it. So we'd get around the job and go out there, and we're going to find out where the steeples had been pulled out of the post. So let the cow get over there, because
there'd be lots of grass on the right of way where there wouldn't be good grass in the meadows. You see, naturally, a cow or horse would get over there if they could. So it didn't happen very much, but they do that for us.
Did they just what they have to hold? They plain old wooden poles out
there.
They use double
on each side.
On each side,
line over down over on the side of the street.
Yeah. They didn't have any with a pole and an arm at all.
No, not in the center. No. We had them. We had them someplace. You know, there's just a few of them. They were
really up on the Indian Field someplace.
I never heard before that it went up to Canada and then turned and went over the third.
Right? Yeah, that was the end of our line. The third between Canada was
somewhere on a map. Kind of showed that. I wasn't sure that it was absolutely.
We made the jog out in the field before we even got it. We had two curves, you see. We curved before we got to Encanto, and then we curved and went straight on up maybe another block or two to Encanto street where we changed our trolleys and then we went back. We jogged, you might say, out in the hay field, made a circle here and over there, and then went straight on up to Encanto. And then that's where the curve was in there.
You know what? That's exactly the way that Jeff Hardy told me it was back in 1950.
Yeah.
I talked with him. I drew this map when I did this in college.
Oh,
and it shows it going right up to right up here to Encanto and then over to Third Avenue.
Yeah.
And then these guys that came out with this publication, of course, they just had the ending at Fifth Avenue.
Third instead of Fifth.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. I wonder why they headed it over that way. Maybe they had in mind linking.
Well, if I remember right, there's quite a settlement off in Third east of that, you see. Maybe all the way to
Second. That's right.
And I think they've done that for accommodation wars and everything else. Because there wasn't nothing west, only across in Canada, because the field went on over to 7th Street, I think.
Yeah. When we first went to work, what color did they have the cars painted?
Well, I don't know. I think it was kind of a brown. It seemed like to me it was kind of brown. I might never get there. They might have been kind of an orange.
Well, the things I've seen written say that they were, in the early days, in the early 1920s, they were yellow. And then they were orange, and of course then they later green.
I think the green cars is when we got them in 28. We got 12 or 14. That's when we first got the big cars that had gates on them. The other up to then was open cars in 22, and there was nothing to shut the steps off. And that's
when did they go to one man operation?
Well, when we got the new cars, it was supposed to go.
Did they ever run two men on those new cars?
Yes, I think he did. Not very much, so I don't believe he did, if I remember.
Did he ever run a new car to Glendale?
No, Glendale, they tore up the tracks. They tore them up, I think, stopped them, I think it was within a year after I started doing it. Because I don't remember. I know I used to go out to Desert Curve and places like that and got there. And a cop, or even the police, or 10 o'clock, or something like that, maybe for 6 months or whatever. I think by 25, I think they must have quit in 25, 30 or whatever. I couldn't swear to it.
Well, this is what's really hard to find, though. You know, everybody says, well, these people that did this writing, and so much of it is wrong, and said, well, when the city took it over, why? They continued to run the Glendale line and then they cut it back, but I never heard that before.
No, I don't think so.
I think that it was taken off earlier than that.
Yeah, I know it was. It was good. I think, I don't remember how long Sherman did on it. There he was still in the Sherman Investment
he
Company.
He got it in 27, I think, 28.
Yeah, I think it was about 26 or 7. I must have got it.
And then the city had it for a little bit before they got the new car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they run it with the old handbrake cars and things like that, too. And then and so they got, I think it was in 28 when they got the new cars. They built the tracks a whole lot, you know. That's when they got more noise.
To put them in concrete.
Yeah, they had the steel upon steel about four or five times then. That's what the steel frames, steel wheels up on there. Them steel cars that had been wooden beams on there, wouldn't have had so much noise. I guess there's some of the tracks still laid yet.
They were tearing up right out in front of the Capitol building about two or three months ago. They were moving the street to make a Y. And they're putting kind of a park like in there. And some contractor did the job. And without reference, it could, you know, tear up the street. Without thinking or paying attention or finding out that there were solid tracks under there. And I know I talked with Carl Rollins. And he was saying, well, if they would have asked me, that I would have told them where the tracks were. But he said, that guy sure lost a bunch of money because he got digging out there. And here he finds steel rail laid on and welded on steel fucking concrete. Yeah. You know, there's no way they could make
it. Well, steel ties, yeah. And then concrete on top of the steel.
Yeah.
The rail is about, the ties is about 4 inches wide, a little better like that. And then they had to put cement underneath them because there's wet weather, you know, they'd sink down, so they had to concrete them right in there where they were in them.
Yeah, you broke Carl Rollins.
Yeah, that's what it's called. Broke me in, I broke him in, and then he broke me in on the buses.
On the bus?
As near as I've been able to figure out, these people at Rhodes said that the cars, as they say, were first yellow, and then they were orange, just like all the city equipment is, you know, orange. And then they went to green. And they said they went to green after the Second World War. And I know better than that, because I remember in my mind, dimly, when I was a little kid, being very struck with the fact that they changed the color on the streetcars. Now, whether this was my imagination or what, I don't know, but that stuck in my mind. But the one thing that I forgot is when they changed the color.
Well, you know, I just have a hunch it must have been the 30s sometimes when them got all shabby or something like that. I think the new car is green. In fact, I know it is now. That's where they had the old handbrakes up until the time we got to them. Then I guess, even the fairground line, I guess that was about the last line we quit running.
When did you run on the fairground line?
Oh, yes, I worked all the lines.
What number? Did they have a number for that? Like
no, certain number, no. We might be signed up for a different number, like if we had five on Kenworth one night, we might get it over there the next day or something like
that. Did they, you know, they had the lines numbered, like one in Brazil and two in Capital, and four in Minnesota. Did the Fairbanks line have a number like that on the card?
Let's see, Kenworth was five, or
let's see.
Yeah,
Brill was one, Capital was two, Kenilworth was three, Washington was two, and Indian School was four.
Yeah.
Now I just wondered if the Fairgrounds was five, or the, How did they run that? Did they run that line all the way downtown?
Yeah, all down 7th Street.
Or did they just come down to where it met the Capitol?
No, we came down to where we met the Capitol, 7th and Washington Street, and then we went over on the double line, right, the double switch there, and cut over from the north side to the south side, and went down to Washington Street to 7th Street. Between 6th and 7th, we had another switch there, and then we went out there and went back on the other line.
Was that a one or two car operation?
About two car. I think it was two cars, because by the time we would leave, I think it was.
Did they have a switch somewhere out on Grand Avenue?
Yeah, they had one at Roosevelt out there.
just north of Roosevelt, between Roosevelt and Portland. Because I know that they, I can remember those tracks were showing in the ground out there, but they were laid in concrete north of Five Points there for a ways.
Yeah, down to the old ice plant. That was the first place.
That's where it fell off. That was where it was.
That's one place they left them when the city sold out. Cause you know, the fellow that bought the outfit, anything that the city tore up, he was to get. He was supposed to get those tracks and everything. And that was tore up out of the ground. You know, they found out it's much easier to cover them over with concrete than it was to tear them up. Then we had another switch. Of course, we had the switches where we crossed McDowell Road and underneath the fairgrounds.
That was the switch. Did the line actually go into the fairgrounds?
Yeah, we went across McDowell Road. Room for about four or five cars. The road got left. You know, they'd have the circuses or something out there. And when it would break up, they'd load about four or five cars and start in. If we could get the people that want us going out on the drill line to get on a drill car there, they wouldn't have to transfer down in town. If they had to, we could switch them right over. But they didn't, we'd have to give them a transfer over to the drill line. But they would be.